Oh man, me and Justin actually are kind of tag team preaching this morning, so if you get tired of listening to me after 15 minutes, it's all right, because now you get to listen to Justin. So for those of us with ADD, this is good. It's a good Sunday. Switch it up every 15 minutes. awesome. Well, just excited for the season that we're in as a church. Also, it's always a little hard when you have to say goodbye to things that are dear to your heart and that you've birthed as a church. If you weren't here a couple of weeks ago, we did announce that next year we won't be starting up the generational leadership program again, but at the same time, we trust God and we know that He's got great things in store for this body. And I was just in prayer this last week, actually at about 3:30 in the morning. That's not normal for me, so usually when I'm awake at 3:30, it's because God wants to say something and I need to listen. So just really praying and seeking the Lord about clarity for vision and for our church and what He has for us. And I just really felt like He downloaded some things to me this last week about the core conviction of who we are as Generational Hope. And as I was just praying about it, I just really wanted, you know, we talk a lot about vision, and we get, Justin and I and the leadership get asked a lot of questions about what's the church about? What's your vision? And I specifically want to talk about, I feel like the Lord's been speaking to me a lot in the last month or so about carrying conviction. Because to me, carrying a conviction about something is a lot different than carrying out a vision. Because what your core conviction is what's going to drive the vision and the purpose or the strategy, basically, of what you're doing and why you're doing it. And so I just felt like the Lord really wanted to give us a download this morning of what our core conviction is as a church and always will be as a church. Conviction is being convinced and holding to a strong stance or belief. Conviction, the definition here kind of reminds me of what the Apostle Paul said when he says, having done all to stand, stand firm then. So I feel like this morning God wants to encourage us to continue to stand firm in what our core conviction is. And in case you are wondering what that core conviction is, that's what I'm going to share this morning. So, awesome. The conviction, it's so important to live your life with conviction, because especially when you're a person like faith, when you're a person of faith, if you don't live by convictions, you're going to get swayed by everything, right? Because I don't know if you've noticed this about your life, but I've noticed it about mine. There are a lot of things that I believe about God and in faith that I don't necessarily see happening every day. Like, I believe that Father God heals people and is a healer, but I don't see people get healed every day. I believe that God is a God of forgiveness. Not only does He forgive us, but He calls us to forgive others, but I don't see that played out every day. So having a conviction, and I believe in our culture today, in our generation today, and I think this has always been a struggle, but it's coming to the forefront again. I think we have to have a conviction that God is a good God, that He's not double-minded, that He doesn't go through certain epochs of time in history and then change His mind and start something else. God is good, God is consistent, and God is a Father. And so I believe that one of the core conviction that we carry as Generational Hope Christian Center is that God is a good Father. We relate to Him as a Father, and ministry is best accomplished through revealing the heart of the Father. And we know this because everything that Jesus displayed and accomplished during His time on earth had one overarching purpose: to reveal the Father. I'll say that again. Everything that Jesus said and accomplished during His time on earth had one overarching purpose, and that was to reveal the Father. John 14, 9 and 10 says, whoever has seen me, this is Jesus speaking, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. And I've been reading this book by Bill Johnson called God is Good. And one of the quotes in there I just wanted to read for you today. Bill says, Jesus came to a planet of orphans to reveal what we needed most, the Father. So based on that core conviction of our belief and our stance that God is a Father, that he wants us to relate to him as a Father, and we need to minister to people and reveal to them the heart of Father God, here are, I just want to lay out this morning to start off, five core convictions that will drive the mission, vision, and ministry of this house. So, number one, a core conviction that we carry is that we're loved by a Father. This communicates the heart. If you're around any of the ministries of GHCC or you've been for a while, one of the things that you'll notice, or I hope you'll notice, is that it all starts with the heart. Because we're loved by a Father, first and foremost. 1 John 4:8 says, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. And I think the definition of this word in this scripture, the Greek for it is agape. And agape is really important because this is the God-designed, unconditional love that we experience when we're in a relationship with Father God. This is not the kind of love that humans can come up with or humans invented. This is designed by God, initiated by God, and it can only be revealed by God. This agape love is the love that radically changed your heart and softened your heart when you got saved. It wasn't just because you had warm fuzzies. It's because you were experiencing the agape, unconditional love of God for the first time. So knowing that we are loved by a good Father with agape love, the unconditional love of God, while we were still separated by our sin, he bridged the gap and sent his Son to die for us, proving his love. Knowing that we're loved by a Father without conditions causes us to love others without conditions. Knowing that once unconditional love captures the heart, repentance and a transformed life is possible. It all starts with capturing the heart with the love of the Father. Core conviction number one, we are loved by a good Father with agape. And we're called to love in the same way. Number two, we're called by a Father. This is what gives our life purpose. Psalm 139, 13 and 14 says, for you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I love that verse. It's one of my favorites. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. We're called by a Father who not only formed and fashioned us, but gave us purpose and destiny. And that purpose and destiny is full of hope for a good future. Knowing that we're designed by the Father with purpose, a hope, and a future causes us to live with faith instead of fear, in hopeful expectation that the good Father has prepared a bright and abundant life for us. So, we carry a conviction that we're called by a good Father. Number three, we're stamped by a Father. Meaning the Father is the one who gives us our identity. Our identity is formed and found in him. Matthew 3:16-17. It says, when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. I think it's important to understand at this point in Jesus' life, when he's baptized by John the Baptist, He has not performed any public ministry. He hasn't performed any public miracles. The thing that initiated his ministry to people publicly was the identity that was stamped on him by his Father in heaven. This is my Son with whom I am well pleased. Jesus' power in ministry came from knowing his identity. Our power and our effectiveness in how we reach the world with the love of the Father comes in how well we know our identity in Christ. We are stamped by a Father. Our identity is shaped by those we're in relationship with. So God not only calls us, but he wants to maintain a constant relationship with us. He modeled this through his relationship with Jesus, and he wants the same level of relationship that he had with Jesus with us. Strong identity leads to strong sons and daughters who minister in the power of the kingdom of God. It is built through an intimate relationship with the Father's voice, consistently and constantly confirming who we truly are in him. Because we are stamped by a Father. Number four, we are empowered by a Father. This is what drives our discipleship. This is what drives our mentorship, our relationship with one another. We're empowered by a Father. Luke 11:13. Jesus says, "If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" I love this verse because it's convicting, but at the same time, there's a promise. If you know how to give good gifts to your sons and daughter, how much more do you think the Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? It's like a promise with unending possibilities. How much more? Like, in comparison to the goodness of God, you're evil. So if you're evil and you know how to do good things, how much more do you think God's capable of doing in your life? How much more do you believe a good Father in heaven wants to empower you to do everything that he's called you to do? Good. We're empowered. Knowing that the good Father approves of us and shows that by giving the Holy Spirit, who empowers us to do what we're called to do and leads us from faith to faith and glory to glory by grace. He gives us what we need in every season of life to grow, always moving forward. When you're partnered with the Father and you're partnered with the Holy Spirit, the expectation is that you're always going to be growing. You're always going to be moving forward. Not every season is going to be good, and not every season is going to be encouraging. But the promise that it says in Romans is that God works for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. The trajectory of your life, the expectation is because we're empowered by the Holy Spirit, we're approved by God, we're always going to be moving forward, and we're going to be growing. And so every ministry that we do as a part of this house, we want to equip people at no matter what stage of life they're at, from infancy to adulthood and beyond, we want to make sure that we're equipping people to know how to partner with the Holy Spirit to move and to grow and to be empowered to do what they're called to do. Because we're empowered by a Father. And then finally, we're sent by a Father. This is what gives our life mission. This is the release point. The characteristic, I think, of healthy church and healthy revelation of the Father's heart is that we release sons and daughters. That there's a constant release because we're sent by a Father. Matthew 28:19, Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." And then the promise is, "And behold, I am with you always to the very end." That is the heart of a Father sending out sons and daughters. See, because once we're captured by the love of the Father inwardly, we're compelled by love to engage with others outwardly and introduce them to a relationship with the Father. See, just as the love of the Father didn't wait for us to come to him, but he initiated by coming to us. We don't wait for the broken and orphan to find us. We go and we find them. Outreach and discipleship, both locally and globally, are natural byproducts of being captured by the Father's heart. Good. Awesome. So just to recap, and then Justin's, I'm gonna tap out and Justin's gonna tap in. But these are the core convictions of GHCC, that we serve and are loved by a good Father, and that drives us to understand these five things. We are loved by a Father, which gives us the heart that we carry. We're called by a Father, which gives us purpose. We're stamped by a Father, which gives us identity. We're empowered by a Father, which drives our discipleship and our growth. And we're sent by a Father that gives us our mission. Amen? Amen. Amen.
Is that what you do to tag in? We just did it. Good morning. Pastor Ryan, that was awesome. With VBS, we realized our pulpit is still put away. So, awesome. Well, good morning. Well, that was incredible, Pastor Ryan. I love how God is speaking those things, and as he said, those are, in everything we do, those are some of the things that we believe are propelling us to accomplish what God's called us to accomplish. So I get to come and kind of wrap things up this morning, but through this, as Pastor Ryan laid out those core convictions, I really believe it could mean a lot, right? We could probably spend a lot of time and say, okay, God, how do you want to accomplish this aspect? And I love what Mackenzie said earlier this morning, because I think whatever process you are in the Lord, whether right now the Lord is stamping your life, that's a good place to be. You know, you might be in a season where the Lord is saying, hey, I want to continue to release you into ministry. Whatever one he's working on in your heart, I think that's a good place to be. And I think it's really interesting, because I don't think if the Lord's stamping me today, you know, he might not be stamping me specifically in a week. But in a year, he's probably wanting to come back, and he's going to want to continually stamp deeper imprints on our life. And I just say, God, whatever process he has you in those things, maybe you need to know this morning the love of the Father. Here's the good news, is we have a Father whose voice wants to be loud in your life, and he wants to speak that to you. And so just open your hearts to where the Lord has you at with those things, and I believe that they will continue to shape who we are. This week, as I was praying and just talking to the Lord and just saying, okay, God, as you're transitioning us and as you're changing us, I believe that God gave me four areas for today that we're going to talk about that I really felt like he wants to establish in us. And so the first one this morning is, number one, knowing who we are as a church. You know, I think individually, we all know the importance of finding our identity, of knowing who we are, knowing what we're called to do. And I believe that there's a corporate anointing that the Lord says, hey, you need to know what you're equipped to do and how I've sent you to accomplish that vision. I was reminded of a Jeremiah 1:5, and it says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you as a prophet to the nation. Now, this is a personal prophecy, but I believe even corporately, before Generational Hope Christian Center existed, before you even came through those double doors, the Lord had put a specific anointing and purpose on this house. And I believe that he does that to each church that's out there. And yes, we're all called to go and make disciples, and we're all called to accomplish things, but he gives churches specific anointings and specific callings that we're called to walk out. And so long before we even existed, the Lord has an identity for this church. And I believe that he would want to speak that to us this morning, say, before you even knew what was going on, I knew that GHCC was going to accomplish the things that it's supposed to accomplish. So that's the first thing this morning. I believe the second thing that the Lord has us in right now is establishing and reestablishing our vision. Habakkuk 2:2 and 2:3 says this. It says, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so you may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it, for it will surely come. It will not delay. You know, we hear in church all the time about vision. You know, one of the most popular scriptures on vision is when there's no vision, people cast off restraints or people dwell carelessly. And I think a lot of times when it comes to vision, I know in my life it's not the idea that I have a hard time with. It's in carrying that out and seeing those visions and those dreams actually become reality. And so this morning, when we talk about vision, it's not just things to do. Could we just understand that this morning? It's not just big projects or big ideas, but a lot of it has to do with the strategy of carrying out the things that God has called you to carry out. I wrote down in my notes when talking about establishing vision is why God has put us here, why God has put you here, and how he wants to accomplish that plan through your life. So that's vision. Again, I know a lot of ideas, but the full vision is seeing that thing grow and seeing that thing come into fruition. When you talk about vision in the church, I think about three words. I'll talk about two of them today. But when I talk about vision, I think about vision and I think about mission. If you talk to churches, if you talk to businesses, they all have a vision and they all have a mission. And the vision is really, how are you going to accomplish the mission? The mission is the goal. The mission is, what are you supposed to be doing? What has God put you on that earth? And the vision is, how are we going to get there? Some of the goals, some of the things that we believe are going to be part of fulfilling that mission that God's called us to fulfill. And so, you know, you do a lot of research and there's books written on this stuff. But I think about a vision and a mission, and I think about a target. The vision and the mission is what paints the target that you aim for. It says, hey, this is the goal, this is the idea, this is what God has spoken, and so we're going to aim for that target. And then, hopefully, we're able to measure our success based on how we're hitting our target. And I think when you think about vision, we serve an amazing God. We serve a God, and I love worship this morning because it just magnified who he is. And I think about a God-sized vision and a God-sized mission can't be accomplished without faith. Right? Because if not, why do we need God? And so I think when we talk about vision, we mission, it could be a little overwhelming because I say, I can't accomplish that on my own. But the blessing this morning is God says, I don't want you to accomplish it on your own. So vision and mission, you know, again, I read the scripture out of the Old Testament that says, write the vision down. We do a class with our young families and we encourage our class to write the vision down for your family. What is God speaking to your family? And I think it's so important for a church to write the vision down so that we can always go back to what God has spoken. And so as we are asking the Lord to establish our vision, it's pretty neat because right now we're working with people and different teams of people, and we're saying, what is our vision look like? What is our mission? What are we supposed to do? And again, I think if we talk long enough, we can figure it out. But I believe the Lord wants to clear it up so we can look at it and we can say, no, this is exactly what God has called us to be. Because again, I believe when that target is painted, we're going to be more effective in reaching the dreams that God has for us. And so we, through this summer, and are really looking in the next 60 days to have our vision and our mission articulated so we can rally around those things. But the Lord even wants to establish vision in your life this morning. I was thinking this week, and vision determines a number of things. Number one, vision determines direction. Okay, vision determines ministries. Vision, and this one's real practical, vision determines calendar, right? Because we all say it, and people say it to me all the time, how do you like living in a fixer-upper home? I'd love it more if I had more time and money, right? Because we know, right, how we spend our time is what we value in our heart. And so vision determines how we spend our time as a church, as individuals. And then the last thing I wrote down is vision determines spending. Vision determines where our treasures go. And so again, we want all those things to line up with our ministry, with our ministries, with our vision, with the things that we rally around as a corporate body. The next area that I want to focus on this morning is we believe that the Lord is having us in a season where we are releasing leaders. Okay, releasing leaders. I wrote down Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, and it says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Okay, obviously he lays out, you know, five different gifts, but the goal is the equipping of the saints. And I believe the goal is the releasing of the saints. And so as we look at leadership, I think our minds can go to a lot of different places, but I really think of how do we release people to accomplish what God's called them to accomplish in their life? How do we release one another to do the things that God's called them to do? And I'm challenged by those things. But I think specifically we look at our leadership and we say, how are we discipling the next generation? How aren't we discipling the next generation? Very specific areas of ministry, you know, we have been so blessed by elders that have served this body faithfully. And elders are overseers of the local church. And we are in a season with our leaders of we're going through a book and we are redefining and looking at what is the purpose of elders and how can we continue to be effective with our leadership, with those whom God has called to oversee the church. We've been blessed by some pretty amazing guys over the years. And I believe we're going to continue to be blessed by some pretty amazing guys. I also believe that if we do not continually invest in the next generation of church leaders, we're going to have a problem. We're going to have a severe problem because we all get old. And we don't have the next generation to carry the anointing, we're going to have a big problem. And I believe that we can see that in a lot of churches who waited too long to invest and to make deliberate action to see the next wave, that it will carry this church into the future. We recognize that the Lord wants to raise up the next wave of leaders, of overseers who watch over the church. And so we are in a process with all of our elders of evaluating and saying, hey, what season of life are you in? And it's an exciting season because we're also saying, God, who are some people that you want to raise up in this church to accomplish the vision that you've put before us? And so we're praying and we're looking to the Lord for the next wave of elders. Here's what's interesting. I was talking to a friend of mine because, again, there's some fathers of this house that have been pillars forever,
right? Pastor Tom back there, Pastor Dave, some of our other, I mean, just phenomenal guys. And I said, man, they're in talking to them. They all love the church, and they're all in a different season. And it's like, God, what do we do? How do we continue to invest in them and see their gifts released to the church? And I got this friend, and he's weird. I'm not going to tell you who he is, but he says, oh, those are my ninjas. Those are my ninja elders. And I said, okay, you are really weird. But we have several elders that have served faithfully. And God has raised them up as true pillars in this house. And we are not going to call them ninja elders. We're going to come up with something better. Right? A better term. What's better than a ninja? I don't know. But they are fathers in the house that are there to speak direction, there to speak correction, there to seek wisdom, advice, counsel, ones who we can be encouraged by. And so we're working with some fathers right now, some of our elders, and saying, hey, where are you at? And we want to continue to see your influence here, but recognize that the season that they're in might not be the day-to-day carrying the full weight of the church. Okay, we got to recognize that there's seasons, and the Lord wants to promote to different seasons. So we have these father elders that we're saying, would you continue to speak into us? Another aspect of leadership this morning is apostolic outside relationships. Now, the word apostolic is a big word. Right, a lot of people in churches, we don't understand what that word means. But the word apostolic really speaks of influence over more than one church. It means that, or there are outside voices that are speaking in to this local church body. And I believe that part of a healthy church is a healthy outside perspective of godly, trusted men that have relationship with the leaders, that have relationship with the body, that are invited in on a regular basis, and they're speaking to the health of the church. So again, we're not calling them apostles, but it's an outside relationship with someone that has the gift to see beyond their own local church. And so God is building relationships with us right now, with people that are outside of generational hope that we can look to for relationship, for vision, for protection, for accountability, for confirmation of leaders, for encouragement. Okay, men and women in networks who the church has relationship with. You know, we've been blessed by men, and I look at different men that even we've had in our church over the last year, men like Craig Lotz, men like Bill Norton that can speak into us and that we are going to continue to cultivate relationships with because we believe that, again, we're better together, and that we're better with some outside voices speaking in. And so we want to continue to be deliberate with those types of relationships in the future. And trusting the Lord that he's going to continue to bring relationships like that. I received an encouragement a few weeks ago from someone, and I believe it speaks to a bulk of our church body. But in talking about leadership, I can't help but think about our ministry leaders, the ones who are using their gifts to serve inside the body. And I just want to read this morning. It was something about a month ago I got. It says this. It says, for the past month, the Lord has been bringing me back to the story of David's mighty men in the cave of Adullam. I believe there are many in our church who have had, in a sense, been in a cave period of their life, where God has had them hidden, working and fashioning them for something that they may not even realize. Okay, we got to understand the cave represented a holding season, a season where these guys with issues were in there, and God raised them up, and God changed them, and they went out and accomplished great things. So that's the analogy there. But he's saying where God has had them hidden, working and fashioning them for something that they may not even realize, and where they're about to be released into the potential that God has in them. As we walk out what God has placed in our hearts, especially this time, we're going to see giftings and talents released through people in our church in a whole new way. And our obedience will unlock the potential in people that they did not even know was there. And so as 1 Peter tells us, each one has received a gift. We use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's grace. Whoever speaks as one speaks the oracles of God. Whoever serves, serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that everything God may be glorified through Jesus. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. And I believe the Lord is wanting to raise up leaders that function in the gifting that God's called them to function in. And I believe God is continuing to give us a strategy. And even as Mackenzie talked about the process, I believe many of us have been in process, and the Lord is wanting to release those things, and we're excited to see it. And then the last thing with discipleship and leadership is being intentional about seeing our sons and daughters grow from where they're at into the future potential that God has for them. And so we're praying about, God, how can we do that in a meaningful and a deliberate way to see them released into their full potential? The next thing this morning that I want to just, as we're wrapping up, is I believe the Lord wants to rebuild our culture. So culture is one of those, like, really hip words. You know, it's like, what kind of culture? And it's cool and it's hip. And really, culture has everything to do with our behavior, our beliefs, and our values, and how those things leave a lasting imprint on the people that come into contact with us. Okay, it's the environment that we create. You know, John 11:35, you know, it talks about all people will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. Right? Well, having love for one another is going to create a culture, right, of love, a culture where we love one another. And I believe the Lord wants to build our culture. So I said three things. I said behavior. Okay, what is our behavior? Right? Behavior is how our worship style, our preaching style. How do people feel when they come into contact with me? Right? Part of that is the culture that I create. Okay, it's everything that people would see, hear, and feel as you encounter generational hope. Okay, that's the behavior. Have you ever been with someone and they're like, I met them, and kind of the first impression things happens, and you're like, ugh. Or you're like, that was really cool, that was really great. Okay, that's part of the culture, right? That's part of when we talk about culture and behavior, that's when people come into contact with you, what kind of taste have you left in their mouth? What kind of feel have you left? And I believe that we have a great culture here. And I believe the Lord wants to strengthen our culture and make our culture even more to the full potential that we're already walking in today. I think this has to do with how we communicate, how we follow through, what we're communicating through our body language or through our building language. Okay, all of those things. Okay, I think the second thing that culture talks about is talks about values. Okay, values are the things that are actually lived out that you care about the most. Okay, if we want to create a value system of family, or a value system where we encounter God's presence, okay, I believe that those are the things that we say, regardless of what we do, this is what we want people to walk away with. We want them to know that we care about God's presence. We want them to know that we care about the purpose that God has put on each of our lives. And so those are the values, the things that really matter most, the things that people can expect to see, and they're the things that we want people to feel when they come into assembly with us or into contact with me as an individual or you as an individual, right? Those are the things that, as we're fulfilling our mission, our values are what we want people to really catch. Okay, and I think the last thing is our beliefs, right? And Pastor Ryan talked about those convictions that drive us. Okay, that's our culture. And again, I believe the Lord wants to continue to define our culture. Again, when you talk about the behavior of what do people feel when they come into contact with Generation Hope, I start to think about our ministries. I start to evaluate our ministries. I start to say, God, how are the things that we've done accomplishing what you've called us to do? You know, I think about our generational ministries, our preschool, all the way through our prime timers. Okay, I think about all of those things. How effective are we in those in accomplishing our convictions that Pastor Ryan talked about? I think we recognize that there's some great things that we've done. There's some great things we do. And then we recognize that there's some areas that we need to shore up, that we need, that are gaps, that are hindering us from maybe fulfilling everything God has for us. I think we have identified that there's some transition periods that we want to work on. The transition from being a preschool to being a grade school kid. That's a big transition. From being a grade school kid to being what's called a middle school kid. You know, it's not junior high anymore in Maple Valley. It's middle school. It's 6th, 7th, and 8th. Well, I remember my junior high days, and they were awkward. And the pictures can show you they were awkward. But I think we look at areas of how in raising our sons and our daughters, what gaps do we have? And I think we recognize that there's some gaps when it comes to our middle school. We haven't had a set middle school. It's been with our youth group. And so we're planning and we are preparing to launch a middle school program in September that is going to be deliberate about influencing our sons and daughters in those formative years in their life where they're really discovering who they are, you know, with some weekly meetings and activities and just creating that culture of togetherness of family and of knowing, again, who they are in Christ. And so we are working and we are praying and launching and asking God for the strategy to say, how could we better minister to our middle school sons and daughters? Because there's a need and they're hungry for that need. And they're probably feeling just as awkward as I felt when I was in middle school or junior high. I look at some of our family ministry of really seeing a place where people build relationships of strength and community. I think about what Lauren did today with MOPS. What a hard season for many young women in this community of having kids, of not sleeping, of dealing with real depressive thoughts. Well, I believe that God wants to continue to raise up mothers that want to speak into that age group. And I believe that's even through the MOPS ministry. I look at our marriage and wanting to see marriages being strengthened. And God has, over the last, I don't know, year, has raised up about 7 couples that really want to carry a burden for marriage, and they're doing things. And I believe that is going to add strength. And so we're looking at those areas, and we're saying, God, how can we better minister so that the overall picture is more effective and more clear? Earlier this year, we really felt like God gave us a scripture in Jeremiah 29, and it talks about, and God's talking to his people, and he says, build houses, live in them, plant gardens, eat of their produce, take wives and have sons and daughters, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there in the place where you're planted, and do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city which I have sent you into exile, and pray for your city on my behalf. For in your city's welfare, you will find welfare. And I think about different things as we, as Pastor Ryan said, going to our community. You know, we have some things that we've done that have been really great, and I believe that there's some aspects that the Lord is wanting to raise up in us. And I think the important takeaway this morning is we need to be involved in what our community is doing as a church, as the churches of Maple Valley. And so we have some things that we're doing this fall that are going to continue to cultivate that. And we have some relationships that we are wanting to see more and more the church's imprint on the community in Maple Valley and in this region. And we want to meet the needs with where they're at. You know, one of the things in transition and in closing is we've been so blessed with generational leadership. And out of all the things that generational leadership has done, they have introduced different aspects of the kingdom to the larger church body. Jim Anderson, the heart of a daughter, the heart of mothering and fathering. I think of ministries like Carrie Abbott. I think of ministries that GL has had in that have introduced deliverance and spiritual warfare and battling for your inheritance. And I think those are all things that we want to continue to be deliberate about, to continue to see the Father's heart advance through those types of ministries, because that has shaped who we are as a church. And so we don't want to lose those truths and those teachings and those relationships, but we truly want to see those things continue to affect us in the future. Amen? Amen. So there's a lot, and we're going to continue to communicate and continue as we make progress and just allow the Lord to continue to show us the direction. He's faithful, amen? He's so faithful to us. So would you pray with me, and then I just have a few announcements at the end here. But God, I thank you for this church. Father, I thank you for the things that you are doing in us. Father, I thank you, most importantly, that you are faithful to us. Father, I continue to declare your faithfulness over us. Father, I thank you that you do have a great future in store for us. Father, and that you are wanting to raise us up into aspects that we don't even know or understand yet. And Father, I just thank you for your grace that enables us to do those things. Father, would you grace us with patience? Would you grace us with your ability to see these things come into fruition? God, I thank you that these ideas are not just our ideas, but Father, that this is your church. Father, and it says that if you build your church, the gates of hell will not prevail. And Father, we just say, would you build your church? Father, would you build your church in our hearts? Would you build your church in our lives? Father, would you build our church, and even in our little sphere that we have with our family, with our neighbors? Father, would you build your church in our hearts and establish those things? Father, I thank you for what you're doing today. Father, even those convictions that Pastor Ryan talked about, Father, would those things continue to go deep in our hearts today? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, really, really quick this morning before we go, family camp. We're excited. It's a little different this year. We do not have a speaker. We really feel like the Lord is calling us to reconnect with one another and to just spend some time doing some things relationally together. So that's why we've kind of got some different activities and some different things. And so just some details. We are doing a luau because we all want to be in Hawaii, and we're all in Maple Valley. So we're going to do a luau Friday night. It's at 7. If you bought tickets this week, pick them up after the service. Today is the last day to sign up for that because it's a catered deal and there's a small cost, so we need a head count. And so if you haven't done that, or if you haven't paid, or if you need to pick up your tickets, you can do so in the back. It's going to be at 7 p.m., and again, today is the last day to sign up for that. We've got an entertainer that's going to be there bringing the whole luau feel to Hobart, Washington, 2017. It's going to be awesome. Blow-up toys for the kids, crafts, a lot. Saturday, a full day, starting with fishing in the morning at 7, the reptile man at 10. We're going to have lunch at 11:30 to 1, and then after that, there's a, for the lunch, it's a, for our youth. As they're going to go to summer camp the next day. There's a small cost to continue to help them to go to camp, but that's 11:30 to 1. There's going to be hot dogs and hamburgers. And then 1 to 3, our generational leadership is hosting just a water area and some backyard games for families. And then that evening, we're going to come back at 6, and we are going to do, like, the biggest group game night that you've ever been a part of, with some minute-to-win-it games and some prizes. And it's just going to be awesome. So it's a time where we can come, and everyone's welcome to come and win some prizes and compete. And we all like to compete. And then we're going to end that evening with a bonfire and some s'mores. So come for that. And then Sunday before our service at 9:30, we got some pancakes at 8:30. So all you can eat pancakes. So it's just going to be a great weekend to be with family, to be together, and to really celebrate what God's doing in each of our lives. And so I encourage you to be here and just connect with us, and it's going to be an awesome time. So make sure that you check out the back table afterwards to get all those details finalized. There's some handouts back there. God bless you. You're released.